Hello and welcome to the Pinstripe Alley podcast. I'm Andrew Mearns, joined as always by Kun Shah. How's it going?
You know, a little bit better than I thought I was going to be during this recording. So I guess I'll take that as a positive, but meh.
Yeah, everything's grain of salt right now with real world things going on that are too gruesome and soul crushing to discuss in a dumb podcast about the Yankees. But anyway.
Yeah, and even the Yankees good vibes have been ruined a little bit this week.
Yeah, the Yankees vibes has not been good either, though in a less serious sort of way than what was going on. But Josh Donaldson ran his mouth off about Tim Anderson and Jackie Robinson, and it was stupid and unforced error. And then the Yankees started to lose players left and right. They lost their first series since Easter when the White Sox won the doubleheader on Sunday to take 2 out of 3. And then they looked bad again in the opener of the Orioles series, but they managed to win the last 2 games. So they got that going for them.
Woo!
Yeah. Narrowly beating the Orioles while your entire team falls around you. And third baseman who ran his mouth is now just on the COVID list as well, because, why not?
Yeah, I mean, they were bound to lose a series eventually, sure. I guess. It's just the timing of everything was just almost perfect, I think.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, Josh Donaldson ran his mouth off, decided to be an idiot, and the vibes were just ruined. The Yankees lost 3 games after that, and they lost everybody to the IL. Everyone just please bubble wrap Judge, please and thank you.
Yeah, honestly, the first note should just be running through this list of injuries that the Yankees have had to deal with just in the past week alone. It's been a lot all at once. In fact, in our last recording, we hadn't even gotten to Luis Gil yet. He would just made like a spot start the week before. It's like, oh yeah, he's okay. But yeah. Luis Gil and Chad Green both out with Tommy John surgery. Losing Gil is a bummer for his development and any chance he might have had to contribute the rest of the year. And then Green was just a good, reliable setup guy. Maybe not as dominant as he had once been, but still very reliable in the grand scheme of things. So it sucks to lose him. He's been a fun guy in the team for the past years, and he might not be coming back since he's a free agent at season's end.
Sure. Yep. No, Chad Green, it's definitely like a tough loss. Like, you don't want to see anybody's Yankee tenure end that way, but definitely very grateful for what he's done the last few years.
Yeah.
Hopefully he can come back from this and, catch on somewhere, maybe re-sign with the Yankees, maybe. And we'll see where it goes, but it sucks. It's a bummer.
Yeah. That's really all you can say. It's the same deal as like when the Yankees lost Tommy Canley and he ended up signing a 2-year contract with the Dodgers to rehab and come back in 2022. So maybe Green does something like that, but unfortunate timing for him. And it comes at a bad time, too, because the Yankees also lost Aroldis Chapman and Jonathan Loaisiga and their bullpen as well. So basically right now it's Clay Holmes and, maybe you.
That's it. Yeah. It's me.
Yeah.
Yes, because Michael King has become human. I still love him, though, but he's become human. Yeah, I mean, King's allowed a run in like 4 of his last 6 outings and at least 2 runs in 3 of those games. So like, I don't know if it's just fatigue or what's going on. I'm hoping it's just fatigue, but the timing of that is just also terrible because, like, you can't really just afford to give him a few extra days off or something like that because, who's there?
Yeah, and we should be clear that it's not as though the Yankees have, like, the Phillies bullpen or anything when when those other 3 guys are out because, your stay-at-home dad, Lucas Lickey, Wandy Peralta, Miguel Castro, these other guys are not terrible. They're just not the same level as those dominant relievers are when they're at their best.
And you forgot Clark Schmidt, who is apparently awesome.
Yeah. Clark Schmidt, who we had a good article recently about how he was basically not being used at all. And that's kind of unfortunate since he's still technically on like a pitching development track, but he's going to be getting more opportunities, I think, in the next few weeks, especially with the players out who are. So they're going to need someone like a Clark Schmidt to step up. Or Ron Marinaccio, he pitched yesterday against the Orioles in relief of J.P. Sears and threw 2 honestly dominant innings, a shutout ball. Yeah, the Orioles, but you'll still take that.
Yeah, and maybe we're getting Man-Bam finally. Our 2014 dreams are here.
Maybe, at last. I have some bad news to 2014 Mearns about what was going on, but the circumstances around Manny Pinellas. But he is on the taxi squad as we speak, as the Yankees head down to Tampa for their upcoming 4-game set at the Trop. Seems like he will probably be activated just because they already made a move to send down JP Sears, because he had made just a spot start and was great, by the way, 5 scoreless innings, way more than the Yankees could have really hoped, I think. And really, it came out a good time because they only scored 2 runs in that game.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And obviously with, you know, how much he was able to provide the Yankees, they're not going to use him for a little bit of time. So you might as well send him down and, you know, get another pitcher in there. Because, yeah, this we're finally at this 4-game series at the Trop that we've been talking about for 3 weeks, that we've been dreading for 3 weeks.
Dun, dun.
And it came at the perfect time.
Yeah.
So, I guess we should finish going through the rest of the IL list, though.
Yeah. We did have the detour to talk about just the effects on the bullpen, because that's where it's being felt the most. But as we talked about this, at the start of the episode, Donaldson was on COVID IL. He's still there as of we speak right now. Sounds like he might be there for a bit, since he's definitely under the weather from what the Yankees radio and TV teams have talked about. Gallo and Higashioka are both back now. Gallo played last night. Then we have DJ LeMahieu, who had a cortisone shot. He's not on the IL or anything, but he did have to miss the game on Tuesday and Wednesday, recovering from that. Feels like he'll probably be back sooner than later, but just something to monitor going forward. And of course, losing Giancarlo Stanton, which was a very odd injury, just because they had announced that he was pulled with like a, you know, calf tightness. And then they even tweeted out the next day when they were putting him on the injured list, Giancarlo Stanton to the IL with calf strain. And then after the game, Boone's like, no, actually it's ankle inflammation.
Yeah. It was just like, we put him on with a calf strain, but that's not actually what's injured. Like, what are you doing here, guys?
Yeah, it's like, can he decide? What's going on?
And I've made very known of my distrust for the Yankees medical staff in the past few years. And obviously, I know there's been, you know, shuffling and changing, but I'm a little concerned.
Yeah.
Like, it's one thing when you pull them out for one game, when the player goes on the IL and they say it's for this, you tend to believe that's why he's on the IL.
It's not as though some reporter got the injury wrong. It was just the official Yankees PR. Yankees PR just put out the wrong one. I assume that may have just been a miscommunication that was going on between like whoever manages that account and what the Yankees training staff is doing, but that can't happen.
Probably. I mean, yeah, like it's probably not a big deal, but I'm genuinely terrified right now for all of Giancarlo's lower half.
Yeah. Well, at the very least, it's more comforting to hear that that's what it was, because I think he will be able to get back on his feet from ankle inflammation pretty soon. And it's a good reminder that last year he was on the injured list in May for just a couple weeks with like a minor quad strain, I believe. So even in like good healthy years like he had last year, he's going to probably have this happen from time to time. And if as long as the injury is something that's relatively minimal, I'm not too worried about it. So he'll be able to, you know, take a breather and come back.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, I'm not worried about, like, just from his point of view. I'm just worried about what the medical staff is doing to him, because I don't trust them.
Nope, they're not the Mets, at least. So we'll take that.
That's fair. Congrats.
With Jacob DeGrom maybe coming back one day. Who knows?
Well, I think I saw something that he may be back in June. Maybe. I just don't think they were very clear about which year.
Jacob DeGrom. June this year. Jacob DeGrom is their Ben Rortvedt. Except I think I've seen Jacob DeGrom pitch before, and I'm still not convinced that Ben Rortvedt is not some AI thing that the Yankees have proposed.
Yeah, Ben Rortvedt, fact or fiction, still stands.
Yeah, 3 Pinocchios on Ben Rortvedt's existence.
Oh, Ben Rortvedt.
Yeah.
What will we do with you?
Yeah. But that's a good jumping off point, because Ben Rortvedt hit the injured list at the start of the season. Yankees had to make an emergency move to get a backup catcher. They brought in Jose Trevino, and hey, he has not been bad. And he's obviously not going to hit like Gary, but he had a really, really nice game to help the Yankees win on Tuesday night against the Orioles.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's probably the game of his life so far.
I'm
challenging him to do better. Go continue, you know, keep on mashing. But a little bit sneak preview for the Baseball Reference Top 12 update. Jose Trevino is on the list.
Oh, hell yeah, man.
We have a catcher on the list in the year 2022, folks.
We have a catcher.
We have a catcher.
Like when they finally got their first catcher home run, they're like, oh my gosh. Happened to mid-May. But now he has two.
Two catcher home runs.
Yeah.
He might be able to break Kyle Higashioka's spring training record.
Kyle Higashioka, still homerless, by the way.
Yes. Yes. Jose Trevino is going to hit like six or seven home runs, or six home runs, and Kyle Higashioka is not even going to be able to hit one, so his spring will still be better than the whole Yankees regular season.
Yeah. Yeah, but the story around Trevino was a lot of fun too, just because we know that we've heard a lot, especially in recent days after the walk-off hit. He grew up a Yankees fan in Texas. His dad was a huge Yankees fan, and it was a special moment for him on that day because, you know, he had walked off that game. He talked about he had done that same sort of strategy, like with his dad in backyard growing up, like a bottom of the ninth Yankee Stadium, use your situation to win the game, that sort of thing. It would have been his dad's birthday. His dad passed away in 2013, but it's just nice to sort of hear these fun, these, I don't know if I want to call that a fun story, but these like nice feel good stories about the team for a while.
I think feel good is probably the better term than fun.
Yeah, for sure.
No, it was cool. And the cool thing about Trevino is, and this is really something that very rarely happens, but somebody dug up old tweets about him. And the one I saw was from 2011. I guess it was during the playoffs in 2011. And he was like upset because like his teacher made him take off his Yankees hat. And he like tweeted about it. Like, really? You're going to make me take off my Yankees hat in math class?
He's like, hashtag Chaser28.
Because I saw like, oh, Trevino tweets. I was like, oh God, that's not 2011. I was like, oh God, this is only going to end poorly. And I saw that and I just smiled. I was like,
oh no, it's just nice things.
Yeah. So, you know, kudos, Jose Trevino. You've had a good week.
Here's a fun fact. Right now, Jose Trevino has a 97 OPS plus and Gary Sanchez has a 107 OPS plus. So not far off. Who knows how long that'll last, but we'll take it.
Yeah. I was going to say, just the fact that we have a catcher right now approaching the 100 OPS, I'll take it.
Yeah. By the way, it's 97 OPS plus with a 246, 300, 369 triple slash and a 669 OPS, which should not mean a 97 OPS plus, but that's what we're dealing with right now with how offense is league wide.
Yeah. You just got to like not think about it too hard because then you'll just like make yourself sad.
Yeah. Four extra base hits and 70 plate appearances and still almost a league average OPS. Oh boy. It's good to see Yankees getting some production because they will need some help with their lineup in the next week or so because they've lost some key members. Judge has kept hitting, honestly. He's still crushing home runs, leads the league, but he's going to need a little bit more help with the dudes around him.
Yeah, and, you know, and Duhar is at least like, you know, it's only been like a few games, but at least he's come up and he's been hitting at least. So yeah,
he had a good game on Wednesday. You know, he had the RBI single to put them in front. Then I did not expect to be talking about Miguel Andujar's speed, but he stole a base. And Adley Rutschman, the worst catcher in baseball, threw a ball into center field. They scored the second run. Yeah, this is definitely confirmed. That. Adley Rutschman is bad for now.
He might be worse than Ben Rortman or Kyle Higashioka. And Duhar has at least like come up and like, it hasn't been great, but he's looked a little bit alive, which is good.
Yeah, we'll take that.
Him and Marvin Gonzalez are going to definitely have some time to show off.
It's weird seeing like, oh yeah, Marvin Gonzalez is just sort of like an outfield regular almost right now.
Yeah.
Might happen a little bit less with Gallo back now. But
Gallo actually back.
Yeah. But also Aaron Hicks has looked absolutely awful. So, you know, dealer's choice as to how long they want to keep rolling with that. I mean, it's hard to watch him at the plate, honestly, because he just does not really seem to be going up there with any plan at all. And that's very unfortunate.
Yeah, no, I mean, the best outcome you can hope for is he just actually works a walk, which he does still work with his walks, but that's about it. That's literally all he does.
Yeah, and I know that like runners in scoring position numbers aren't indicative of future outcomes, but they tell you what has happened, and what has happened is he's just shown a complete inability to get any runners home when they've been on base. No. And right now, at least for the past few games, he's been at the top of the lineup with DJ LeMahieu out, and that's just a bad spot for him.
Yeah, at this point, I'd rather just like have Rizzo or Glaber lead off.
Yeah. Yeah, they've still been getting their hits here and there, so that's nice too. But yeah, IKF has sort of fallen off after those good few weeks, so Yankees need some more of these guys to step up, so hopefully some of them will.
Yeah, I mean, IKF like woke up for like an hour during the Jose Trevino's game, so that was good for him to be there. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much about it. Basically, Josh Donaldson ruined the Yankees vibes.
Yep.
That's what we're getting.
Prove us wrong.
I dare you.
Yeah. And it's just tricky because like this team is still going really well. They have the best record in baseball. They're ahead of even the Dodgers. But you still just worry about what's going to happen over the next month, especially as they're playing tougher competition. We're glad that they played well against these lesser teams because that did not happen last year, but it's still a test in front of them and they're not operating at full capacity right now either.
Right. And like, it's the thing that the point about last year is definitely key, where like, at least this year they've built up a little bit of a cushion so they can, I don't want to say afford to lose a few games, but you know, it's not the worst thing in the world, I guess, because they've at least padded their lead a little bit. Whereas last year they were just fighting for their life the whole year, so they just looked drained and dead.
Yeah.
Obviously, we expected some bumps in the road during this, you know, 23 games in 22 days stretch that we encountered. So it was bound to happen at some point. Just didn't expect everything to happen all at once within 1 week. But I guess the next few weeks are really just going to be a true test of the Yankees, because, like you said, tougher competition, dealing with injuries. And just seeing how everyone comes back, bounces back, or just, you know, steadies the ship. I mean, as long as Aaron Judge is healthy, the Yankees have a chance to, like, you know, keep on keeping on. And hopefully the rotation keeps on doing what they're doing, too, because they've been just outstanding.
Yeah, we haven't even really talked about them too much yet, other than J.P. Sears stepping up and making a big spot start. But, you know, Severino's rolling. Jameson Taillon looking great. Very under the radar great, but he's done some excellent work so far. And obviously Nestor is still stealing the show. Gerrit Cole is Gerrit Cole. So this is just a really well-oiled machine of a rotation. Jordan Montgomery is still pitching well, even though the Yankees abjectly refuse to score for him and blow leads.
JP Sears has 2 wins this year in 1 start. Jordan
yeah.
Montgomery has 0.
Yeah. Jordan Montgomery is 0-1, and JP Sears is just this rookie. He's made 3 appearances. It's 2-0. Man.
Yeah. Also, the funny thing about this rotation is Gerrit Cole has the worst ERA.
Sucks. Get him out of here.
Like, just barely worse than Jordan Montgomery, but he's technically has the worst ERA. In order from worst to best, we're going to go Gerrit Cole with the 3.31, Jordan Montgomery 3.30, Luis Severino 3.02, Jameson Taillon 2.95, and then obviously the ace of all aces, Nestor Cortez at 1.8.
Yeah. It's one of those weird things because he's still pitching pretty well. He had just given up some, you know, unfortunately timed home runs here and there, but he'll figure it out. It's just weird that right now that's what it looks like.
You know what I think it is, right? So there's no true starting catcher on this team, so he doesn't have a true backup catcher to pitch to for him to reach his final form.
That's true. Yeah. He's going to demand that they re-sign Rob Brantley just so he can have a backup catcher.
See, Gary Sanchez not catching Gerrit Cole last year is what made him great. Not because of it was Gary not catching, it was because he had a true backup to throw to.
Ah.
I figured out the secret to Cole's success.
And I suppose while we're talking about low ERAs, we'd be remiss if we did not mention Clay Holmes' 0.38 ERA. Yeah. He's on a run of 23 consecutive scoreless innings. He allowed a run on opening day against the Red Sox and is like, that was stupid. I'm never going to do that again. So God bless him for it.
I hate this, is what Clay Holmes said.
Yeah, it's ridiculous how much his pitches move. And when you watch him, like some tweets from like Pitching Ninja where they show you how the ball is coming to the plate, and then these two different pitches go in wildly different directions, and you have no idea how anyone ever makes contact with them unless they're just guessing. And even that.
Yeah, no. Who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, my man has an ERA plus of 981.
Is that good?
I mean, it's not 1,000, so I guess it's bad.
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't even know if ERA pluses can go up to 1,000 or more.
I'm sure if you pitch enough innings and like allow a few enough runs, then it can get some pretty ridiculous levels. So, but yeah, he's on another planet right now, and they need that anchor in the back of the bullpen. And boy, howdy, is he shown it.
Yeah, and I just hope that, like, while yes, he should be the quote unquote closer until Chapman comes back, or even after, and Chapman shouldn't be on this team anyway. While he should be the closer, at least for right now, until they figure out whatever else later, I hope they're not too like rigid or tie him down completely to just, if it's not the ninth inning, he's not going to pitch type deal, like, because he's too valuable to hold down in the specific inning. You still have like other guys like Wandy Peralta, Miguel Castro, Michael King, where like, yeah, maybe they haven't been pitching as well as Clay Holmes, but if you need Clay Holmes earlier than the ninth, you use him and then you kind of figure out the rest later.
Right, right. So Clay Holmes good, Yankees mostly good, but also bubble wrap Judge, just to be safe.
Yep. Yes, right. 100%.
Anything else, or should we go into our ad break?
I think we should go into our ad break.
All right. We'll be right back.
I just said our break. Sorry.
We'll be right back with our ad break / art break. And we're back from the art break. And we have our weekly baseball reference leaderboard update. So why don't you take it away, Coach?
Sure. The top of the list shouldn't really be surprising, with Aaron Judge still just holding strong because he's doing Aaron Judge things. Mm-hmm. Pretty much since he's worked his way back up there, he has not given up that spot, and I hope he doesn't, because when Aaron Judge is doing Aaron Judge things, it's really fun to watch.
Although, if Nestor wants to just go into another level and somehow top Judge, that would be really funny.
Absolutely. Like, please keep on keeping on and continue, but at this point, Aaron Judge is 2.2 to Nestor's 1.7. It's not as close as it was like even a week ago or 2 weeks ago, so
yeah,
let's see. Valid. Mr. Mustache, step up to the plate. But anyway, so following Judge is Nestor, Josh Donaldson, Clay Holmes, DJ LeMahieu, Gleyber Torres, Jameson Taillon, Giancarlo Stanton, Clark Schmidt in his 6-hole games.
He's made him count, man. He really has.
I have a little bit more on that in a second, but I'll just round out the final three. Gerrit Cole, Luis Severino, and Jose Trevino.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. Clark Schmidt has pitched in 6-hole games and has been worth more to the team than Gerrit Cole. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Clark Schmidt is the new Gerrit Cole. Get out of here, man.
And most importantly, he has an ERA of 0.69. So Clark Schmidt, you should be at the top of the list, really.
Yes. He's done some very nice work. Yeah. Okay, got to give it to him.
My other two notable notes on this is we actually have a catcher, a Yankees catcher on this list in the year 2022.
What a time.
Jose Trevino in his game that we talked about. And then in sad news, Michael King, my sweet King, has fallen off because he's been human.
Yeah, it's come in a hurry for him, and you know, that'll happen. He wasn't gonna be April King forever. And even though he did have like one really good game in the middle of this so-so stretch where he threw three innings and I think struck out 6 against the Orioles or something like that.
Right.
But yeah, I think he's probably just a little fatigued with a lot of the use. And you know, as you said, he's going to probably be called upon again a lot in the stretch. So hopefully he'll be able to take a breather, bounce back, and get back to at least pretty good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. Hopefully, you know, we'll get him back to form. And just maybe give him an extra day or something if he needs it.
Yeah. Yeah, and the Yankees right now have 4 of their 5 starters, 4 of their 5 starting pitchers all in the top 12 for baseball reference. And Jordan Montgomery is not that far behind, honestly.
Yeah.
So, Matt Blake,
kudos
good?
To Matt Blake. Exactly. Kudos to Matt Blake, seriously. It's been a long time since I felt like good or had good vibes from the Yankees rotation as a whole. And it's weird because I forgot what this felt like. So that's just nice.
Yeah, just a nice comfort. And they did a really good job last year, of course, too, but it felt a little bit different. I don't know. Maybe just like more up and down. Like, they were great as a whole, but I feel like there was more varied performances, but now they've just been all really good. Like, yeah, there has not really been a bad start, it feels like, except since like that one Gerrit Cole start in Detroit where Schmidt came in. But other than that, it's just been,
you mean steady, the number five steady, pitcher steady. In the rotation, Gerrit Cole?
Yeah. Yeah, Gerrit Cole, bust.
Gerrit Cole, who are you? Let's trade him. Let's not, though. I like Gerrit Cole.
For Juan Soto, we'll throw it in Duhar.
Yes. I wonder if Billy Crystal has ruined Gerrit Cole's season.
I'm just waiting for the post-mortem on the season. Like, yeah, you know, I saw Billy Crystal and I was just like, it's over already.
Look, if Gerrit Cole continues his pace and is quote-unquote the worst start in the rotation at the end of the year, my overall season Manfred of the season will go to Billy Crystal. I will grant Gerrit Cole this. He just ruined him on opening day, and that's it. It's been all downhill since then.
Yeah, analyze this, Crystal.
Ah.
All right.
Anyway.
So, should we look ahead?
Yeah.
All right. As we've talked about, they got these four lovely, beautiful days in the dank trop. So have fun, guys. Please don't run into any walls or break anything, or I don't know. Just try to survive these games. And if you could come out with a split, great.
I would be extremely happy if that ends up happening.
Yeah. Yeah. My expectations are always just so low whenever they go into the trop.
Honestly, like, you could get swept in four games. Just don't die. That's pretty much where the bar is. Like, literally don't die, and I'll probably be happy.
Yeah, I'll be pretty bummed if they lose all four games in the trap. I'm not gonna lie.
No, I know. Usually I'll say that with a three game set. A four game set, at least win one.
Yeah. But they got the four games in the trap, and then they have an actual off day. Whoa.
Yeah, they don't have to make it up and play a doubleheader.
Yeah, and they definitely won't, because, you know, the only benefit to the trap is that it's all indoors, so they'll just be playing the games unless it caves in, which I guess we can't kind of.
Yeah, that's true.
But it is weird that they'll be off on Memorial Day when everyone else is also off, and usually would be home to watch Yankees baseball, but they will have to make do with one of the other teams. And I think on the broadcast last night, they noted that the Yankees are also off on the 4th of July, which is kind of odd too, but whatever.
I'm going to assume that Randy Levine did something. I don't know what, but I'm just going to blame him.
Yeah. Yeah, they have a lot of Mondays off, actually, in July, so I don't know. Weird. Anyway.
They actually went through that stretch, I think, at some point last year, too, right? Or is it 2020, where they had, like, every Monday off or something, it felt like?
It might have been last year, and I could see that, maybe, just, like, how they set up the schedule. But I know minor league baseball, they've just do all Mondays off now, so.
No, I know, which is, like, nice. But then, like, I remember at some point, there was, like, a stretch either last year or the year before where they went like 6 weeks in a row where it just every Monday was off, I felt like. But yeah.
Well, after that, they'll be getting the look at Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout company. Going to play the Angels for three back at Yankee Stadium, then three against the Tigers. So
yeah.
The Angel series will be an interesting one, just because the Angels have actually been playing well for the first 2 months of the season. So they will try to keep their good vibes going, and the Yankees will aim to not have that happen.
The Yankees will try to resume their good vibes, recapture their good vibes, yes. Something their good vibes.
Yeah. And yeah. Maybe after the Trop series, they will need to be in search of good vibes.
Yes. But hopefully not. Maybe the good vibes will find them.
Yeah.
But they definitely won't at the Trop.
Yeah. Just don't have any games against the Angels like that one nightmare last year that's still in my brain. When Shohei Ohtani pitched and they got out to a big lead and then they blew it and it rained and Chapman blew up.
Oh, I had successfully erased that from my memory.
I have not, tragically. Yeah. It's one of those games also I think is buried into Matt F's personal data bank too, because I think he recapped that one.
Yeah, it's 100% in his mind, even if he didn't recap it, but that's definitely a game for him.
Oh yeah,
to remember.
Yeah. What a stupid game.
Yeah, that was a really, really dumb game. Yeah.
Anyway, don't do that. All right. Should we wrap this up?
Yankee. Yeah. Awards time.
Awards time. Play the music. We don't have music. It's the it's the Yankee and Manfred of the week. All right. Who is your Yankee of the week?
My Yankee of the week is going to be Jose Trevino. Just like we talked about, you know, all around good vibes, you know, had a hell of a game on Tuesday, and, you know, just he's made his appearance on the top 12. So it's just a really, probably the only time I'm going to give it to a catcher this year. Maybe not, unless he keeps on going. So kudos to him. Had a very good week and, you know, pretty much won that game on Tuesday. So he earned it.
Cherish the honor, Jose, because who knows when it will come around again. Yeah. But I think that's a fair honoree.
Yeah.
Let's see. I was thinking, you know, I was thinking Judge, but I think I'm going to just take the opportunity to shout out Clay Holmes, just because we probably do not really give the Yankee of the Week too often to relievers, just because the nature of how rarely they pitch unless they're really doing something extraordinary. But the run that Clay Holmes is on is just ridiculous right now and much, much needed in the back of that bullpen, as we've already said. So just another salute, Clay Holmes. Very good at baseball, absolutely. And a hell of a trade acquisition from the Pirates.
Seriously, he went from just, oh, we got a guy from the Pirates, that's cool, to, oh, he's literally the best reliever ever. Thank you.
Yeah, it's like just in the span of like 10 months, he's gone from a guy in the Pittsburgh bullpen to, oh, now he's the New York Yankees' most valuable reliever. Okay, cool.
Yep.
Very normal stuff.
Yeah. Before we move on to the Manfred of the week, though, I'll give a special shout out to my second place for this week, which was JP Sears, because that was a hell of a start. Probably was as good as anyone expected. And kudos. Pretty much
I believe in the notes you had something about the pitching department at Sears.
Yes, I came up with puns. I had JP Sears start with confidence because they had their buy with confidence program. JP Sears as advertised. I think that was from you. And then something about the pitching department in Sears, because it's a department store. Couldn't quite land the joke, so I just left it.
Yeah. How about Aaron Boone and Brian Cashman having a conversation about who should, you know, start that game? And Boone said, "You'll call today." And Cashman said, "I'll call now." That's all. That didn't really work.
You're really going to make me give you the Manfred of the week.
Yeah. This is bad. This is dire. All right. No.
Too bad it's locked up this week.
Yeah.
Locked up. You can aim for it next week if you want.
Locked up joint honors, Manfred of the Week, Josh Donaldson. Not surprising. Just shut up, man.
Yeah. We really don't need to go further into it. We've talked enough about it, and honestly, probably more than it deserves, because it just was a whole stupid, ugly incident. But yeah, Josh Donaldson, shut up.
Yeah. It's not funny. Tim Anderson is not your friend, and this is not the needling to go about doing. Let's not use Jackie Robinson's name as a you know, an insult, because that's clearly what he's doing. That's what it comes down to.
You dumb dummy. Josh Dummelson.
Got his ass.
Nailed it.
All right. I mean, I don't think we could go anywhere from there other than just ending this episode. So. Yeah. All right. So you can follow us on Twitter at Pinstrip Alley. Follow me at MernsPSA. What soda recommendations are you going with this week?
Ooh, I'm going to go with Cherry Coke.
Cherry Coke. Okay, fair enough.
Mainly because I just had that right before we recorded, and I'm staring at the can. So.
Well, as long as that's the can you're staring at, not the can in the toilet or anything. This is how I do my podcast recording. Don't insult my artistic style.
Okay. Hey, man. I'm a bird. You're a bird. I won't stop you from flying. Damn it, I messed up my joke.
This has just been a banner, a couple minutes for Bosch jokes. So we'll... But yeah, Cherry Coke. It's good.
Cherry Coke. Confirm. Up there with my faves. Not my favorite, though.
Yeah. All right. So Secret Life of Walter Mitty, Cherry Coke. We're just learning all about Kunch. So...
And Cookies and Cream. The ice cream was the first one.
Yeah. Yeah. When I totally caught you off guard with like, what are you talking about?
I really had no idea. Yeah. This time I was a little bit more prepared.
Yeah. All right. So that'll do it for us. Hopefully the Yankees get some wins at the Trop. Fingers crossed, and all come out with all their limbs. We can only hope.
That would be nice. I would like them to be fully limbed once they leave.
High goals. All right. Go Yankees. Go baseball. Bye-bye.